Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Chris Goforth in on this Friday. And as I often enjoy doing this time of the year, we head out on the WadeFord.com hotline, Wade Ford, Atlanta's Ford dealer, and bring in Brad Rowland from Locked On Hawks, the podcast available on the Odyssey app and wherever you download your podcast from. Always appreciative of Brad making a little bit of time for us. Brad, am I wrong for thinking that the offense for the Hawks should be a little better right now given the pieces they have?
No, I think you're right about that. I think, you know, maybe not the same level as last year as a top two or three offense in the entire league, but nobody expected the Hawks to be below average, which is where they are right now in terms of points per possession and some of those supporting metrics. So, yeah, I think there more shots will fall. Some of the process stuff is a little bit concerning under the line. But, no, I think you're not wrong at all. This is a team that should be better than this offense.
Yeah, and the perimeter game hasn't been there at all early in the year. It's not that they're not making many threes, Brad. They're not shooting many. Obviously, that part will help when they get a bogey back. But what's the story with the perimeter game and the outside shooting?
Yeah, it's interesting. They did lose a lot of shooting in the offseason between Kevin Huerter and Danilo Gallinari, and as you mentioned, Bogdanović still being out. So those were three of their top four or five shooters from last year that are not on this team anymore, and they were replaced by guys who are capable shooters but not quite the same level of gravity as those three. But also, you know, part of it's just guys missing shots. Guys like John Collins and Trae Young in particular are below their career averages and their recent averages. That should normalize itself, but it's also sort of an organizational and really a coaching staff emphasis. They just don't take a lot of threes. This is a team that probably has better personnel to be shooting more threes than they have been so far. They take a lot of mid-range shots, both Trey and DeJounte and other guys that kind of like that mid-range quite a bit. So I think they will take more as the season goes along, but I expect this team now to probably be below average in how much they take. And making them is a little bit more comes down to luck sometimes, but I think it's definitely been a process shift under Nate McMillan to kind of emphasize the rim and also that mid-range area a little bit more than they did in the past.
How much better, Brad, is this team on defense this year compared to the team that the Hawks put out there last year?
They are much better, both personnel-wise and just execution-wise so far. You know, part of the trade-off they made in the offseason, adding guys like DeJounte Murray, but even their supporting pieces like your Justin Holiday types, Aaron Holiday especially, those guys are defense-first players, and I think they got better defensively on paper, losing Gallinari in particular. Gallo has a lot of offensive strengths, not really on defense necessarily. And then they're also just playing better defense. It's more of a grinded-out style. It's not always the most fun to watch because in the last couple of years they've been this high-flying offensive team, and now they're more content and I think really more in the image of their head coach to kind of be more of a grinding team that plays better defense. The captain of that, Clint Capela. Capela has been playing incredibly well defensively this year, but he's not alone. I think John Collins is having his best defensive season of his career so far. Murray's a good defender. Trey is always going to be a weakness, but he certainly has been better in the last year or two on that end of the floor. So it's more, definitely a team effort, but I think the Hawks are kind of playing a different style, and they're also just leaning on Capela, who has been fantastic, and having a Congo behind them too. They have 48 minutes of really quality center play on defense, and that is a huge factor.
Brad Rowland, Locked On Hawks. Brad, I was going to ask how much of this emphasis on defense and this style of play, how much of that you think is coming from Nate McMillan? But you believe this is kind of in his image here, huh?
Yeah, I think Nate has always been more of a defense-first coach, and that actually got a that became kind of a joke, kind of a meme last year because the Hawks were so bad defensively, coached by Nate McMillan. But it was definitely driving him crazy. You can tell that he is, even when he was a player, 20, 30 years ago now, he was certainly renowned for his defense and kind of builds his teams in that image. And I do think that, you know, aside from Trey, who definitely has a target on his back most of the time, they don't have a lot of weaknesses defensively. They have guys who at least can hold up a little bit better. You know, they don't have Gallo to attack. Bogdanović, while he'll help the offense, might hurt the defense when he comes back as well. There's a sort of a trade-off there. But I think having a lot of quality front court play is the biggest thing. Capella, Kongwu, Collins, that trio has been awesome defensively this year. And Nate really seems to like to grind it out on the defensive end of the floor more often than his predecessor did. So they're definitely sacrificing some offense for some defense in the way that they're kind of deploying lineups, the way they're kind of playing overall, playing a little bit slower. But I think that the Hawks definitely have had success with it so far. And I think as long as they hold up and be a top 12 or so defensive team where they've been so far, that is just light years away from where they were last year when they were in the bottom five most of the season.
Brad Rowland, check out his podcast, Locked on Hawks. You get it every single day. Covering the Hawks, and you can find it on the free Odyssey app or wherever you download your podcast from. Just search Locked on Hawks, and you'll find it. Brad hanging with us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Was it strange seeing Kevin Huerter in a different uniform when the Kings came to town a couple of nights ago?
It was a little bit. I think even the team kind of acknowledged that, too. You know, he was talking to all of his old teammates before the game on the court, you know, John Collins, DeAndre Hunter, guys he played with his entire career, and you know, he was drafted here and spent his first 4 years in Atlanta. Nate McMillan got asked about him before the game and said he's one of his favorite guys that he's coached and just really talked him up in a big way. And I'm sure it was weird for him coming back home, at least not necessarily his permanent home, but a place where he spent 4+ years of his career. And it's always a little bit strange, especially for guys who were drafted by the Hawks to come back for that first time. He's been playing great, though. They were all very happy for him and the way they were talking about that. The Kings have been pretty good this year. He's having his best year of his career. So definitely a lot of positivity around that. The Hawks definitely miss him, I think, in some ways on offense, in particular with his shooting. But I think it's nice to see him thriving. And by all accounts, Kevin's always been a guy who's been kind of beloved behind the scenes.
What's the latest on Bogey? When do we see him back on the floor and kind of integrated into this offense?
It's a great question. The Hawks have been kind of going out of their way to not give it a lot of specifics on his timeline in particular, but he has been doing a little bit more. There was some video circulated from the back half of practice on Sunday of last week about him playing some 3-on-3. He's been playing some more 1-on-1, 2-on-2 kind of things. So he's ramping up a little bit. That's kind of the party lines that he's been doing a little bit more each day. He has not yet played 5-on-5 and gone, you know, live is the way that Nate McMillan refers to it all the time, like really kind of giving it 100% effort at a 5-on-5 setting. That's the next step for him. Once that happens, he should be only a week or two away, but that's kind of the last big hurdle to clear is getting back to practice, being able to actually be fully integrated in that. I think, now that we're at Thanksgiving or beyond, something like, you know, mid to late December would be my, like, uneducated guess, kind of between the lines, but there's been nothing official on that. So I think they're definitely taking it easy on him, maybe on purpose, because the last 2 years he was breaking down by the end of the season. There is an advantage to having him be healthier for longer if you are the Hawks, but they also badly need him. So we'll see how long it takes him to get back on the court.
How will they work him into this offense?
I think the biggest thing is just he provides more shooting. You know, they've been playing AJ Griffin a lot more recently, and that makes a lot of sense as a guy who's a really dynamic offensive player. But he's 19 years old, and I think Bogey, aside from Trae Young and maybe Griffin, is by far their best shooter. And just having another guy on the floor who can and will take threes, who can and will put pressure on the defense, and just expand the defense. Because really, you even see it when Griffin's out there compared to other guys. They have to be guarded differently. And that's half the battle in the NBA is just being able to kind of change the gravity of the court, being able to be guarded out to 28 feet, 30 feet like Bogey can be. We've seen him at his best be a dynamic offensive player. You know, famously in the second half of the season 2 years ago, he shot 50% from three for like a 40-game sample size. He was just fantastic. So I think that keeping him out there on the floor defensively might hurt them a little bit compared to other guys. But I think offensively, he is a hugely positive option for them, and that should help boost a lot of different things on offense.
So this team has kind of been stuck in that win-one, lose-one kind of streak here for almost a month now. I think you'd have to go back to November 5th and November 7th to find the last time they were able to win back-to-back games. How important is it? Look, you've got a team in Houston tonight. They should be able to overwhelm. But how important is it for this team to kind of string a couple of wins together right now?
Yeah, I'm sure it would be nice for them just morale-wise and just the way that it all goes. Nobody likes to lose, and they've been losing, you know, every 3 days or so basically for the last 3 or 4 weeks. like you just laid out. And yeah, this is their easiest spot on paper in a while to get a second straight win. Houston is not very good. But even then, you have to go to Houston on the day after a holiday. It might be a little bit of a hangover there. And then the Rockets have actually had 4 days off, so they'll be very fresh. So that'll be interesting to see if they can kind of take care of business on the road in this spot, because Houston is a team that, like you said, they absolutely should beat. But I think just generally consistency has been something they've been trying to find on offense in particular. I will say the schedule has been pretty difficult. They had five games in a row at the beginning of the season that were very easy on paper. And ever since then, they've basically played a good team every other night. So it's one of those situations where there have been no games on the schedule, and nothing is assured in the NBA. Even tonight against Houston, like, you're favored, yes, but it's on the road, and nothing is easy in the league. But I think just having a little bit of a softer schedule, you know, Sunday is also not a bad matchup against Miami, a team that they lost in the playoffs, but they've been struggling a little bit so far. That's a home game on Sunday. So maybe they can rack a couple wins here and get it going a little bit, because while they're 11-7, I'm sure they'd like to be 13-5 or something like that.
Talking Hawks with Brad Rowland from Locked On Hawks. All right, Brad, I thought we could maybe get to January before I had to ask this question, but here we go. More John Collins trade rumors. This from The Athletic. Possible deal with the Suns. Is this the year we see a John Collins trade?
Yeah, it's interesting, Chris. I mean, we feel like we've done this before a few different times on this particular airwaves. But yeah, it's really wild. It seems to never go away. And what I would say about this particular iteration is that I don't think much is new here. I think what really happened is that Collins never kind of left the trade market. Obviously, there's sort of a dead period in the NBA from like August through November, December, where trades just don't really happen, barring something that's pretty crazy, like a team, you know, somebody asking out or something like that. It's kind of a dead area for trades. But I think Collins has just been available this entire time. And on the other side, you know, the Hawks have been asking for a full price for him, and that's why they haven't traded him yet. They're not going to give him away. While he has been available, they've been asking for a fair return, and they haven't gotten it yet in their mind. So we'll see if that changes. I think that it might reach a critical mass this time around. It is starting so early. You know, I think that if I had to guess between now and February, will he be traded? I probably would say yes at this point, but it's not like it's 90% either. I think it's always been in that, you know, 40 to 60% range, depending on the day. And I think he's been available, but the Hawks are not, at least to this point, been willing to lower their asking price. And until they do that, there isn't a whole lot of urgency. And part of the thing is, as you might imagine, the Hawks want to win. And I think if you're going to trade John Collins, you have to replace him with someone you can play at the power forward spot, because he is by far their best power forward, and that definitely adds a different dynamic to this.
Brad Rowland, talking Hawks with us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. As we finish up, Brad, let's part on this. Give me your thoughts, and again, it's early. We're 18 games, give or take, 17, 18 games into this thing. Give me your thoughts on what you've seen so far from the East. Boston off to a really good start. The Hawks were able to handle Milwaukee. I'm a little surprised at what Cleveland has done and kind of the way they've played up till this point. Give me your thoughts on the East and what you're seeing.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I think that Boston and Milwaukee have kind of separated themselves a little bit. I know the Hawks beat the Bucks twice, but the Bucks without Chris Middleton so far have still been able to play really, really well. And Boston's playing extremely well after making the finals last year. If I had to guess, I would say those two teams are kind of in a tier by themselves at the top. And then there's kind of a pretty wide next tier that I think includes the Hawks. You have the Hawks, you have the Cavs. You have, you know, teams like Philadelphia, who's been up and down, but they've had some injury issues. They've been sort of a proven team in the last couple of years. Toronto is always in the mix there around that spot. There's probably four, five, six teams that could be realistically the three seed in the East this year. I think the Hawks could be in that range as well. But I would say more trust in Milwaukee and Boston than the rest. But it's really jumbled. The entire league right now is really jumbled. There's a lot of teams that have six, seven, eight losses, and they're kind of clumped together. It makes for interesting times, because a lot of times the NBA is criticized for being, you know, top heavy. This year it's not really been that. It's been a lot of parity, and that could be a lot of fun too.
Brad, appreciate it as always, man. Great stuff. And again, want to encourage folks, Locked On Hawks, that's the podcast. You can find it wherever you download your podcast from. You can get it right on your phone each and every day through the free Odyssey app. And Brad, appreciate it as always. We'll catch up again soon.
Thanks for having me, Chris.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.